Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox, that's Ben Olson. We're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We have an email here from Joe.
LSAT Demon student Joe struggled with question 19 from test 69. Okay. Which is apparently a necessary assumption question.
Okay.
We can't discuss this specific question publicly. It falls under LSAC's licensing rules, but here we're going to go ahead and paraphrase some of Joe's question.
About it's the leaf litter one, the one with the caterpillars and the goblin ferns and the leaf litter one. People who have seen this question very likely will remember it because it's kind of a nasty one.
Okay. So here's what Joe supposedly wrote. When you negate the correct answer, it does not make the conclusion impossible to draw. Joe then gives an example of a hypothetical scenario that could justify the conclusion despite negating the correct answer choice. Okay, so step back here for half a second. When people are trying to answer a necessary assumption question, which asks, which one of the following is an assumption that the argument depends on? Sometimes, and this is not a technique that we advocate, but it's not wrong, you can take an answer choice, you can negate it, you can make it say the opposite of what it's saying, or, well, say something other than what it's saying, and if the negated answer undermines or destroys the conclusion, then that's likely to be correct. And so Joe is trying to do that, and supposedly did that for the correct answer and is now arguing with us and saying, wait a sec, I negated the correct answer, but it still didn't undermine or completely destroy the main conclusion in the argument. Therefore, what? I guess the negation test doesn't work, or maybe he's misunderstanding something. Any comments on that so far?
Well, negation test isn't something that we really teach when we teach necessary assumption anymore because it's overly complicated. I would prefer that students just treat necessary assumption questions as if they are must be trues. Sometimes we can see how the right answer is right by negating it and thinking about, hey, if this isn't true, does it cause a problem for the argument? And I think what Joe did here is he tried to do like a trick play where he was like, well, it, technically speaking, there is this hypothetical scenario where even if the supposedly correct answer is false, I could still find a workaround to make the conclusion true.
Therefore, it's not must be true, right?
Yeah, therefore it's not must be true. But I would just encourage people, and you and I have actually had a bit of a debate about this in the past, so I'm curious to see if I can sell you on this idea now or not. You can always call bullshit on me. You're good at that. But what I would say to Joe is, hey, dude, one of these answers has to be right. Can you identify the right answer even if you think it's technically imperfect? One of these answers is most like a must be true. And so if you want to soften that a little bit and say, okay, well, maybe it doesn't strictly 100% need to be true, but the intention of the question, the way they asked it, the intention of the argument, the way it was written, if you've eliminated four other answers, well, you're like, well, I don't see how any of those could be possible. You know, that's not something that this guy would have to agree with. That's not something that she would have to agree with. That's not something that they would have to agree with. If you can do that, then hopefully you just have to remember that in the minds of the test makers, one of the answers is perfect. So you coming up with this, like, I don't know, trick play. I'm thinking of a better, I need to think of a better metaphor, but it's like you thinking of this exceptional scenario where, hey, maybe it doesn't strictly have to be true. Okay, fine. It's not strictly a must be true, but isn't it still the one that's most strongly supported by the passage? Can't you see what they meant by that answer? Right? We have to interpret the correct answer in a way that makes it correct is what I'm saying. And so don't get me wrong. I don't want you by default working hard to make answers right because answers are usually wrong, right? Every answer has an 80% chance of being wrong. But when you've read all five, and especially if you're sure that four of them are bad, then having this one little technicality about one of the answers where it's like, well, in this theoretical situation, I could see how, you know, it doesn't necessarily strictly have to be true. Yeah, yeah. But what if we just reinterpret it a little bit and we think about, well, on based on what they're saying, I can see how if this correct answer were the opposite, it sure seems to put the author of the argument in a bad spot. And that's just going to be the answer. And so rather than being like ideologically pure about, no, it's a necessary assumption question, and on a necessary assumption question, I have to be able to negate the correct answer. The correct answer strictly must be true according to the author. No, because the instructions do tell you clearly to pick the best answer. And even though we think that the correct answer in the vast majority of cases, I mean, I would probably say like 99% of the time, the correct answer is strictly, you know, like defensible 100%. Once in a while, you kind of got to back into the correct answer, and that's okay. I don't know. What do you think? Think I'm full of shit?
No, I mean, that's actually impossible. To play on a different word we had in a different episode, that's impossible to disagree with. There are correct answers that are not perfect, but they're 100% correct because they're the best.
Yeah.
But there's a whole nother layer here, and that is the devil's in the details. And when people say like, hey, this answer doesn't strictly have to be true, this doesn't have to be assumed, therefore I really don't like it, even though it is the best answer. Often when you dig into it, it is something that needed to be assumed. They just misunderstood the answer choice. They misunderstood the question, or they misunderstood the passage or the argument. So while I agree with you 100% that the correct answer just has to be the best answer, so that may mean picking an imperfect answer often. Oftentimes, the student is just confused and the answer actually is perfect. They're just misunderstanding it.
Yeah, and that's the other thing here. So I'm seeing some background that says Joe has already had some back and forth with the ASK team in the Demon, which is great, by the way. I mean, got it. High five to Joe for talking to our ASK team, because that's what they're there for. So if you're confused, write an ASK button, and we'll use that to make our explanations in the Demon better. So hopefully our written explanation for this question has improved based on Joe interacting with our ASK team. Mm-hmm. But what I'm seeing here, again, as a background note, is that it says he's inventing what if scenarios that would allow the conclusion to be true independently of the reasoning in the argument. Mm. And that's a problem. That's a big problem. And I think I've seen this happen with other students before, where they get so locked into this idea that, oh, well, no, because if it's a must be true, then the correct answer, if it's false, is going to destroy the conclusion. But no, it's going to destroy the argument.
The reasoning, the path in which the conclusion was reached with the evidence that was given. Yeah. And in fact, when you think about it that way, there are a lot of necessary assumption correct answers that seem a bit bizarre, because you're like, I don't have to. I think I could. Joe's going to run into this again if he's paying attention, because you're like, hey, that doesn't need to be assumed. Oh, but if you just kind of get with the flow of the argument, you can see that this is a necessary assumption for this author. This is what this author must have been thinking, given what she just said and then how she concluded.
For their argument.
Yeah.
Not just for their conclusion, but for their argument. If I'm going to take these facts and get to this conclusion, then this has to be true. It's not as simple as, in order for this conclusion to be true, this has to be true. It's, in order for this argument to make sense, then this thing has to be true. I think that's got to be the piece that Joe's missing here, is that it's not just must be true according to the conclusion. It's must be true according to the argument that the author used to reach their conclusion. So think about it. Look at their evidence. Look at the conclusion they're trying to draw. And then if you are going to do this negation test, which we don't, you know, it's not ever the place to start, but it can help you sometimes understand what's going on. Think about what would happen if that right answer were false and include it in their argument, like put it into their argument. So it's like, here's the evidence, and then make the correct answer false, and then see if you can reach their conclusion. And you're going to see that it's significantly muddying the waters. Anything more for Joe?
No. Joe, I love that you're digging into the test. Send more questions to the Ask team. Hopefully we can see some of those as well.
Oh, geez. And get a 170 on your 170 plus on your official test and come work for us, because, you know, we like people who think this way. We like people who are going to really not be satisfied. We like people who are going to dig in. So I'm glad you didn't just punt and move on, Joe. I'm glad you kept pushing back. Hopefully this helped you actually get there.
Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.